This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Richard Simon, pastor of St. Lambert Church in Skokie, Illinois, and host of Relevant Radio. St. Francis de Sales' attention to the little virtues of gentleness, humility, kindness, and cheerful optimism shape monastic life in the Salesian tradition. Learn about the Visitation Sisters at GeorgetownVisitation.org.
The reading says, "Happy are those who die in the Lord." So often people ask me very strange questions about things like, well, if our Lord and our Blessed Mother were bodily assumed into heaven, then where are they? Questions such as, in heaven, will we recognize each other? I get these questions all the time, and they're important questions. I think that we have a view of heaven that is, well, like so many things we think about, conditioned by movies we have seen or stories we were told. You know, you'll hear songs about mansions on streets of gold, and we have this kind of impression that, well, we get there, we get our mansion, it's a good life. Muslims, for instance, paradise for men is well, without going into detail, a promise of unrestrained immorality. Muslim woman was once asked, well, if a Muslim heaven for a man is that, what is heaven for a Muslim woman? This woman thought, and she said, well, it's like a really nice house in the suburbs. And sometimes we think of heaven that way. We think, well, when I've got my mansion on my street of gold. And I always joke when people ask me impossible questions, say, well, this is what I think, and this is what I believe the church teaches, but tell you what, we'll go down and we'll ask the Blessed Mother the day after the resurrection. I'm joking, of course. We look at heaven from our own experience. We have, ever since prehistoric times. You know, if you look at, for instance, ancient Egyptian burials, they were buried with all the things they thought that they needed for the good life. It was just this world without the difficulties of this world. And very often we think the same way. But when we think about these things, we have to hear what St. Paul tells us. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even occurred to the mind of man what God has in store for those who love him. Last week I told you some stories about people I know who died and lived to tell about it. And I may have mentioned this, and I'll mention it again, that the very first person I met who had that experience said, well, the most bothered him about the whole experience was that he knew the answers before he was asked the questions. And it occurred to me, I wondered if he wasn't trying to explain timelessness in temporal categories. You see, that's the problem. We try to explain the timeless in terms of time because all we've experienced is time. Eternity means timelessness. People ask the question frequently, well, if God knew before he created that someone was going to go to hell, why would he have created them? And in a certain sense, you can't ask that question. Because God didn't know. He knows. God never knew. He knows. This is something that we who live in a small world and in time can't wrap our minds around. For God, all times are now, all places are here. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. From our limited perspective, we cannot fathom what it will be like. except that Christ has told us a little bit of what it will be like. You mean I don't get a mansion? Well, I don't know. Again, we'll go down and ask. But I suspect that it is more wonderful than a mansion. Jesus said to his disciples once that in my Father's house there are many dwellings. That's where we get the word mansion from. That the word can be translated mansion, but it's more commonly translated a dwelling place. And when you talk about a house, it means a room. And to me, that is one of the most beautiful ideas in the Bible. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. In other words, you're going to go live back home. Isn't that a lovely thought? How often I think, now that I am old, of how wonderful it was to wake up in my Father's house and to know the safety of being home. To know that there was something cooking for breakfast downstairs and that all things were well because Mom and Dad were in control. Now, they knew perfectly well they weren't in control. The mortgage was due, the bills were short, the tires were bald, and so on. But I didn't know that when I was a little kid. All I knew was there were pancakes downstairs, and it was good to be home. And how I got to the place in my life, oh, I couldn't wait to leave. You know, can't wait to be out on my own. And now, having been out on my own for many years, how I wish I could go home just a little, just once in a while. Well, guess what? In your Father's house, there are many rooms. You're going to get to go home and live in your Father's house again. Your real Father's house. That's the promise of heaven. It isn't mansions. It is a home. Now, a second detail. The beatific vision. I don't know if I spoke about this last week, but it doesn't matter. I'll talk about it again. When I was a kid, and the poor beleaguered nun was trying to explain heaven and mentioned the beatific vision, I thought nothing in the world sounded more boring. You got to see God. Okay, what's next? And then, of course, there's that business about the harps. We get that book from the book of Revelation. I love the old King James translation. And I heard the sound of harpers harping on many harps. What makes the point? That's where we get the idea. Here's your harp, there's your cloud, now just look. It really does sound boring. But the beatific vision is a thing of wonderful beauty. You know, when a young man and a young woman are married and very much in love, sometimes one will wake up and see that the other has already wakened and is just looking at them. It's kind of creepy. They'll say, "What are you looking at?" "I'm just looking at you. You're so beautiful." When you go into the nursery, when you've brought a child home from the hospital, how many times do you sneak into the nursery after the baby's been put to bed just to look, to make sure they're breathing, and you just look. They're so perfect, so beautiful. The beatific vision is to behold the beloved. If you've ever been in love, you understand the beatific vision. To see the one you love just briefly, just for a moment, is a hint, just a shadow of what the eternity of heaven is. To behold the beloved forever. To be home. To behold the beloved. And Jesus talks about paradise. Jesus says that the thief who repented on the cross says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus doesn't talk about heaven. He talks about his kingdom. This is an idea a little too complicated to go into tonight, but the word kingdom is a very broad word. But what the thief was really saying to Jesus was, when you come into your royal power, we think of that as heaven. Jesus didn't talk about heaven. He said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Well, what was paradise? Paradise is a Persian word, and it means a walled garden. It means a walled garden. In the ancient world, a king's word was law, especially in Persia, where the title of the king was the King of Kings. And the king could not speak publicly unless he really meant it, because his word was written down and became law. No one could approach the king, no one could speak to the king unless he was first spoken to. To speak to the king was to risk death. Well, no one can live that way. So the kings of Persia had a group of people called Friends of the Bedchamber. Nothing immoral about it. They were people who had access to the king. And they could go in and out of his private quarters. And once they were in his private quarters, they could speak to him like they were friends. He spoke to them as if he were just one of the guys. And his private quarters opened up onto something called the paradise, a walled garden. So Jesus was saying to that thief on the cross, today you'll walk with me in my walled garden where I'm king. So heaven is the walled garden. But of course, it isn't just the garden. It is the intimacy with the king that matters. That meant that he who is your Lord now will be the companion of your heart, the friend of your soul. All of the desires that we have in this world, the desire once again to be home, the desire to love and be loved, to behold the beloved, the desire to have the fullness of real and honest friendship. These things for which we long in this world, they are just longings for shadows, the realities of which will be ours someday if we live with him and die with him. Paradise, to be with him and with one another in endless fellowship and love. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has in store for those who love him. We try to understand heaven by the physics of this world, and heaven has its own physics. We cannot begin to compare this world to heaven, but we can perceive heaven with our hearts. To know Christ, to fall in love with Christ, to look from the cross on which we hang over to the cross on which he hangs, is the beginning of heaven. We can be transported to heaven at any moment, especially in those moments when we go to Mass or sit before the Blessed Sacrament. We can begin to experience in small part what we will know forever if we allow his grace to have its way in us. We try to figure out how. How can it be? You know, people argue about the possibility of life after death. They say it's absurd. From ancient times, people have said that when the body collapses, the soul is no more. It's absurd to think that somehow a consciousness can survive the dissolution of those things that sustain it. Well, perhaps it is ridiculous, but it is no more ridiculous than the idea that a few chemicals and some clay can stand up and talk and think and imagine. These bodies are nothing compared to the glory that Christ promised would be revealed in us. St. Paul talks about the resurrection body. You know, when you were kids, when I was a kid, I bet you did that little experiment where you put the bean in the Dixie cup and put it on the kindergarten window and watered it a little every day. Remember that? And after a few weeks in the warm sun, a little green shoot came up. And it grew and it grew. And there came a moment when you had to transfer it from the little Dixie cup to a larger pot. And perhaps as you pulled it up and the earth fell away from it, there you saw the husk of that little bean clustered around the roots of that beautiful green vine. That green vine that would keep growing and growing and growing. And you must have marveled as a little child that somehow that wonderful green plant was inside that little brown bean. How could that glorious plant fit inside that little bean? Is it any more ridiculous to think that inside this husk there is something wonderful and eternal? Does not nature teach us that not all things are obvious? So it is. We do not understand how, but the wonder is that it is the truth. We ask questions. What will this be like? What will that be like? The answer is, I don't know. But it will be more wonderful than you can imagine. The longings of your heart, the desire to go back home, and the hope of loving and being loved, those things that are most basic to us, those things will flower. Very shortly in Spanish, solamente quiero decir que San Pablo nos dijo que ojo no, nunca ha visto ni oreja oído lo que Dios tiene para los que le aman. Tampoco se le había ocurrido a la mente de a la imaginación del hombre. Pero la verdad es que todo lo que queremos, todo lo que necesitamos, es solamente un reflejo, un chispe de lo que Dios nos tiene para nosotros. De veras. Nosotros muchas veces preguntamos, ¿cómo puede ser eso y eso y eso? Yo no sé. Solamente yo sé que Dios es poderoso y que Él ha prometido a nosotros más que podamos imaginar. Y nosotros no podemos percibir con el cerebro lo que sabemos del corazón. Y en el corazón, cuando estamos en la presencia del Señor, ya estamos entrando en el cielo y vemos al cielo con los ojos de la fe. Again, when I wonder how these things can be, and when this world discourages me, all I need to do is sit in the presence of the Lord for a few moments to remember, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, what God has in store for those who love Him. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.